I like to say that I work with the type A badasses, but I'm a type B efficiency gal. So I have this love affair with efficiency where if I can find the low lift way to do something, I'm going to do it. And I figured out how to low lift the book writing and publishing process, but still turn out a really quality piece.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friends. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. This is where you get great ideas, incredible strategies, and money-making models for how to succeed as an entrepreneur selling your expertise. And today we have a very special guest with us. And the question on the table is there a book in you? Is there a story that you need to tell? And what advantage could a published book have for your business? And my guest today is Danielle Mendoza. She is a Christ-following, cat and coffee-loving, multi-time international best-selling author and publisher, speaker, and bespoke book consultant. As the founder of Confident Concept, she's helping brilliant entrepreneurs leverage their expertise to scale their businesses and leave a legacy by developing winning strategies to write, launch, and leverage a best-selling book to increase their revenue and time freedom. Welcome to Life After Corporate, Danielle.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to talk about this idea of using a book to grow your business.
I love it. And we met at one of Kelly Roach's events. So we're both Kelly Roach followers, lovers, clients. And I was sitting behind you in the room and I remember wanting to meet you. And when I asked you, what do? You told me about the book publishing business. And I said, oh, how do you work with people? And you answered, that depends. Do you want to be an Amazon best-selling author, a Wall Street Journal best-selling author, or a New York Times best-selling author? And I really just stopped in my tracks because no one had ever presented that question before. It's usually, oh, here's how we work and here's what we do. And you presented that very core strategic decision that had me thinking of, oh, what am I writing this book for? And where do I want it to be? And what's my intention? So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have a background in business strategy, so I'm always looking at it from that angle first. It's that old adage of like, we have to start with the end in mind, right? And the same is true of your book. What are you going to do with this book? What's the point? Like, why are you writing this? Is it just to say you did it and to grow through the process? That's great. But usually as entrepreneurs, when we're like, I want to write a book, I want it to serve my business, I want it to serve my audience, there is more to it than just that. We're looking at really putting ourselves out there in a way that elevates our brand, impacts more lives, and helps us to achieve some kind of end goal in terms of business growth. And so we have to look at that first. And we have to look at, where is your business at now? What does your audience look like? What's realistic for you? Because I think often people assume bestsellers come by accident. Like, you write a book and you release it, and if it's good enough and enough people read it, then you get on the bestseller list. And you're like, oh yay, I had no idea that was going to happen. That's amazing. But that just isn't true. It is always done with a strategy in mind. And so we have to think about it that way in order to make that outcome happen for you.
Yes. And I'm always, you know, I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just such a skeptic that whenever I see someone post, oh, I have an Amazon bestseller, it's just like, oh, really? Come on. Like, how many people have Amazon bestsellers? So I always question that. But, you know, we'll dive into that in just a minute. First, I want to understand, how did you get here? What's your background? What is your Life After Corporate story?
So I left corporate because I got married and got pregnant and got laid off in the downturn of 2008. I was about 12 weeks pregnant and the construction industry was not going well. And I was one of the unfortunate few who was laid off. So I left, found the opportunity to stay home with my kids, had two babies. When they were young, I started getting restless. Like, I'm just not one of those people who is like, my whole heart and soul is in being a mom, and I'm perfectly satisfied with that. And kudos to those who are, but I'm guessing your listeners are not that person either. And I needed to do something. So I went back to school, got my certificate in business management and marketing, and started writing. Writing's always been a passion of mine. So I started copywriting, ghostwriting for blogs, different articles. And it was a lot of fun. It was just kind of quirky. And I wrote about all different things. A lot of like mommy bloggers who were doing recipe blogs at the time. Cooking's a big passion of mine. So I ghostwrite for a lot of those. So it was just cool to kind of get my toe into the, you know, dip it into the pool online writing and what that looks like. And then I moved into business strategy and I started working on my own copywriting business. And then branched out from there, became a life coach, started working with teens and women who are facing diagnoses, and building my business and learning a lot about how the online business world works. And I stepped into working with a bigger brand and their business strategy. And about mid-2021, decided to step out and make my own business consultancy happen. So I did that. And I was like, you know what? I want to write a book. I've always wanted to write a book. It was on, you know, my bucket list of sorts. And so I wrote my first book, Manifest Success. And it was all for women who wanted to start a business. And it served the person that my consultancy was for. And so I started leveraging that book and saying, this is the conversation I want to have with you. This is what the rest of the business world is missing in terms of manifestation. It was such a buzzword every time. And I'm like, they have some of it, but not all of it. And I wanted my audience to know that there were pieces missing. So I promoted that book, grew my business thanks to that book. Landed several visibility opportunities that I would never have had otherwise, considering that my business was basically brand new. And it went really, really well. And then after, you know, three or four people came to me and said, hey, I know this isn't what you do, but I'm thinking about writing this thing, or, you know, how does that work? I realized, okay, universe, you're speaking to me, like God points you in the direction that people need you to go. And I started up my book consultancy, and I've been going strong ever since.
That is amazing. And what I love about this story is it's so illustrative of the entrepreneurial journey, right? Like, there is no straight line. You're always reinventing. And when you're following the, not only the draw of the market, like what people are asking you and what they're wanting, and you're deeply listening to those needs and desires, but there's also this pull in your heart, like, oh, this would be really fun. And, you know, it was really fun. Yeah, there was so much misconception about manifestation in that time. The Secret came out and it was like, yes, let's wish for $1 million business and boom, it will be there. We'll manifest that. Well, you don't manifest that shit without doing a lot of work behind the scenes.
Amen.
But with that book publishing business, let's start with the why. Like, why write a book? Why is having a book important as an entrepreneur?
So on the deepest level, it comes down to your purpose. I truly believe that if you feel called to write a book, it is a calling that's been placed on your life. And it's easy to feel like, oh, everyone wants to write a book, or everyone has a book, and it doesn't really mean anything, but it does. It means something. It's because you have something to say that people out there need to hear. And we know this is true because your business wouldn't exist if that wasn't true. And so, like, speaking into the people that you love and want to serve through a book is a powerful legacy piece. It's a powerful way for you to leave part of yourself behind, because your book could last on the shelves longer than you last here on earth. You know, it really is an amazing, amazing tool for building that legacy. And then as you kind of come up from the depth and you go more to like the surface level purpose, your book is a great opportunity to reach those people who need and want your service. It's an opportunity for you to spend time with them, to spend 2 to 4 hours, you know, speaking directly into their lives, showing them that you understand where they're at and you understand where they want to go and you know how to get them there, and creating a whole new elevation of your brand, because now you are stepping out as this authority. You're saying, I know this well enough to write a whole book on it, and I'm going to serve you in that way. And it shows your audience, I think, that you really love and care for them, because you're taking the time to pour yourself out into the book, and then you're delivering that to them in an easy, accessible way that's so different than anything else that we do online. You know, social media is really crowded. It's not a great place to get people's attention. Emails are good, but again, they, you know, your inbox gets flooded daily. But when you're saying like, here, I have this book, go spend some time with me. People tend to, you know, kind of shut off everything else when they're reading a book. They find a cozy corner, or they sit out on the front porch and they open up this book, and they're really all in on the idea. They're buying in to who you are and what you have to say. And it positions you in such a unique way that almost nothing else can. I mean, even with all the technological media advances we've had, nothing has been able to replicate or replace the value of a book.
Yeah, that is a great point. The intimacy of the conversation, similar to a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we are speaking into people's ears, and people who tune into the show. I speak with new people all the time who have recently made the decision to become entrepreneurs. And they say to me, oh, I'm starting at the very beginning and I'm binge listening your podcast. And a book is just another medium that can either reinforce the relationship you already have with listeners, or is an alternate avenue for people who aren't podcast listeners. And it opens up other doors as well. So now that we've established why to write a book, right, to create that deeper connection with your audience, or open up avenues to have conversations with new audiences or get on stages, what are some of the first decisions that someone needs to make when they decide, okay, I'm ready, I want to write a book?
So I find the most important thing is to create what I call a clear and complete outline. A lot of the advice that's out there, like if you Google, how do I write a book? I'm an entrepreneur, I want to write a book. How do I do that? A lot of the advice says, just sit down and write every day. Just start writing. And I find that that is the most inefficient way to go about writing a book. And it results in what I call word wandering, where you're just kind of wandering all over the page with your words. It feels, you know, like it lacks cohesion, and it does. And you're going to feel really discouraged, and you're probably going to give up. In fact, 97% of people who set out to write a book never finish it.
Wow.
And I think that's a big part of the reason why. So the first step with my clients is always to develop that very, very strong and complete outline. And complete means we know what is the golden thread or the theme of their book. I call it the golden thread because it's like weaving a tapestry of your stories in a way to teach things to your clientele. And so we need this golden thread to be woven through each of the stories and each of the lessons that you're sharing. So after we define that, then we take a look at how does that break down into digestible bits? How do we, you know, give one building block at a time so that at the end, the reader has the full lesson and the full understanding of your process? And then we define what are the stories that share each of those insights, lessons, mindset shifts that your reader needs to go through. And then from there, we can start writing. And in fact, the first step is always to go back to your existing content. I mean, if you're a six-figure, multi-six-figure business owner, you have been saying the same things for a while. It's just true. And so when you have something like a podcast, a blog, even just your social media and email, you can find the words that you need to put into those kind of buckets of your chapters now that you have this outline. It becomes very easy to put tens of thousands of words on the page in the first week or two. So you're not spending time kind of reiterating the same thing that you said before. And then you can go back and clean it up through the self-edit process. But it's really, really valuable to tap into that content and repurpose it.
Yeah. One of the things that I did as an experiment just recently when ChatGPT was still rather new is I transcribed 5 of my solo podcast episodes from the early ones. So the very beginning of, you know, entrepreneurship is the new feminist movement and those types of things and some of the early mistakes that people make. And I took those 5 transcripts and I loaded them into ChatGPT to help me write an ebook, a draft of an ebook. And actually, the draft wasn't all bad. It wasn't perfect. And obviously, we don't want to put AI content out in the world solely without editing it and making sure it's zhuzhed up with our voice and our point of view and all those things. But it was a great way for me to just get started and not to word wander. Because one of the great things about ChatGPT is it's organized and it helps organize thoughts into a logical sequence and put ideas together. So what is your take on using AI tools as an assistant in your writing process?
So there's lots of different AI tools, right? It's something like Grammarly is really helpful to make sure you're staying within your own voice, you're ordering things properly, that the punctuation looks good. I do say ChatGPT can be helpful, but with a caveat. So it's still like the Wild West when it comes to AI. We don't know all of the legal implications of AI. And so we have to be really careful. So, you know, I heard from like a trademark lawyer that if KFC were to put their, you know, 11 secret spices blend into ChatGPT, even in a private setting, they would lose the proprietary rights to that recipe. So we want to be careful when we're like putting things out, like our IP, our processes, things that belong solely to us. We just want to make sure that we understand the implication of what it means to feed it into something like ChatGPT that does have a public function that, you know, if it's not set to private, your information can become part of, you know, just the public information that it's feeding everyone else, as well as even if it is set private, you know, what does that mean for you legally now that you've shared it into this platform that kind of goes beyond, you know, being internal in your business. So a lot of that is still not fully understood. So I do say, like, yes, it can be helpful, but we want to use it with caution. And honestly, the process that I use doesn't require any AI, you know, outside of maybe some Grammarly cleanup or your standard like Word document, grammar and spelling check, because you are taking so much from what already exists. And so it's already written, just like you did with those transcripts. And then you're able to kind of speak out the rest. When we're writing a book like this, we want it to be conversational. We want it to be us speaking to that person. And so voice to text is a great opportunity to write your book without sitting down at the computer, you know, writing on the keyboard. And there's something different in our brain. It's so interesting how when we think of something and then write it out, it goes through a different filter neurologically than when we just speak it. And I find often for entrepreneurs, because we spend so much time talking to our person, it's a lot easier to speak our book into existence than it is to actually write it. And then we can go through that simple cleanup process in the first round of edits.
That's a really wonderful idea. I've started using the voice typing feature on Google Docs for my podcast episodes. So frequently I like to think things through before I just turn on the record button and get in front of my mic. I like to have my ideas organized, and using a tool like voice typing on Google Docs is a great way to go. That's a great, great thing. So let's talk about some of the mistakes or overlooked opportunities that people miss when they think about writing and publishing a book. What are some of the traps that you see people fall into?
So a big one is kind of school essay syndrome. So we think that we need to put out a first draft that is so polished that we could get an A. You know, most of us have gone through at least the 12 years, you know, 13 years of school plus college, plus potentially a master's or a doctorate program. And it's been ingrained into us that what we turn in has to be good enough or somehow we could fail. And we keep that in us, like ongoing into adulthood. And that's a trick of entrepreneurship, I think, first and foremost, is to realize, no, failure can be good. We have to try. Sometimes done is better than perfect. In fact, always done is better than perfect. And the same is true of your first draft manuscript. It's about getting your thoughts onto the page first and foremost. So I tell my authors, it's a lot like putting clay onto the wheel. And we're going to put our clay onto the wheel and we're going to shape it into something. Nothing is being fired in the kiln at this point. We can reshape time and time again before it's actually, you know, set in stone in terms of formatting and publishing. And so we have that opportunity to be messy, kind of be in that messy space of creating and allow it to just flow out. And then I always read through my author's work. So they have my eyes on their work and I can say, hey, this was really great. I love the way you said this here, or let's clean up this piece over here. Let's expand here. Maybe we can shorten this. So it gives them permission to be in that messy space and turn it in messy. And then the beautiful thing is from there, they're going to co-create with their editor. So the editor is going to review that book two or three times. they're going to have, you know, opinions and understandings of written manuscripts and literature far beyond what the rest of us do, because that's what they do for a living. That's their expertise. And they're going to help you create that really polished final product that can stand up to the quality check. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned earlier, when you hear about an Amazon bestseller, you're like, okay, what does that really mean? There are so many, there are a dime a dozen these days. Well, it does mean that enough people went out and bought their book at release, so you know that they've got some kind of following. And really, the backup to that of saying like, okay, I'm a best-selling author, now do my books stand up to that scrutiny? And that's the trick. And I think that's why we've become kind of jaded, because we see these bestsellers and we go look at it and we're like, really?
Yeah, like, I know.
That was your, really? Like, and we want to make sure that we're putting out top quality books that rival the big publishing houses, because we run top quality brands. We offer top quality services, and our book is going to be out there representing our businesses and representing ourselves. So we take the time to create that quality and that excellence by co-creating with our editors, with our formatter, with your book consultant or book coach, making sure that the finished product is beautifully representative of you and your business and the service you provide. But it's not something you have to do right out the gate. There's no reason. You have to treat it like a school essay where you have to turn in this perfect finished product.
So my sense is that some of the mindset traps that women entrepreneurs in particular fall into, and men probably as well, such as perfectionism or procrastination or starting but not finishing. What are some of the mindset traps that you notice that your authors fall into, and how can they avoid it, number one, or two, how do you help get them out of it?
So they often think one of two things, and sometimes both. They think, I don't have enough time to do this. A book is going to take years to write. Or they think, I need to know more. I need to be more successful. I need to understand more before I can go into writing this book. And neither of those things is true. I like to say that I work with the type A badasses, but I'm a type B efficiency gal. So I have this love affair with efficiency where if I can find the low lift way to do something, I'm going to do it. And I figured out how to low lift the book writing and publishing process, but still turn out a really quality piece. So the first step with my clients is always to develop that very, very strong and complete outline. And complete means we know what is the golden thread or the theme of their book. I call it the golden thread because it's like weaving a tapestry of your stories in a way to teach things to your clientele. And so we need this golden thread to be woven through each of the stories and each of the lessons that you're sharing, because that production is important to me. I have a background in theatrical production and film production, so I know what it means to be under a time crunch and still need to turn out something that represents that quality level of experience that you want someone to have. And I've brought that into book writing. So I help them get out of that time trap as well as that perfectionism simply through my process and my presence, I think, are the two most powerful pieces. I've got this process developed, which looks a little bit different for each person because we all have different situations. But generally speaking, the foundations are the same. And then I'm present there through the journey with them. I'm accessible, I'm available, and it is something where, you know, I'm a nurturing partner who's like, lay it all on me, let's fail together through this, and, you know, I'm never going to judge you for what you bring forward, but I am going to give it to you real. I'm going to let you know what needs to be changed, what doesn't, where you're killing it, and where you can improve, and it's all for the benefit of the author, and I really come to it with that loving sense of, I want you to succeed. I want you to do the best you can possibly do, but I also know that doing the best you can possibly do doesn't mean it's 110% perfect, and that's okay, because done is better than perfect.
Yeah, and I imagine that your film production background is really useful here in weaving storylines, and frequently film production, you know, things get filmed out of order in what happens in the final script or the final movie or show. And I'm thinking that that could happen here too. Maybe you have an idea and you're feeling inspired and you're on chapter 5 and you haven't even written chapter 2 or 3 yet. Is that true? Is that a fair assumption?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's why we start with the end in mind, and we start with that complete outline. We have sort of the storyboard, right, of your book. We have that full picture of what it's going to look like at the end. And then from there, you can, like you said, when you get thoughts about chapter 8 and you haven't even written chapters 2 through 6 yet, go put those thoughts in chapter 8. There's nothing wrong with capturing that. I do believe there's a divine element to all of it. You know, the spirit delivers the words to us and through us. Sometimes I go back and I read parts of my book and I'm like, I wrote that? I don't even remember having that thought, and it's good. So that's where I attribute it to something higher than me. It's something beyond me. And that seems to be true for all of my authors, that, you know, inspiration strikes, and we have to be responsible stewards of the ideas we're given. And we do that by capturing those things in the moment.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And what is the process by which you work with your potential author clients? What's your step-by-step?
Yeah, so we break it down into 3 parts. It's about writing, launching, and leveraging this book. So we're going to take a look at that leveraging piece first. Like I mentioned, like, what is the point of this book? What are we going to do with it? And from there, we're going to embed that leveraging into the writing strategy. So we'll create that outline and we'll start working on what's the best writing strategy for you, for your schedule, for your specific situation. Are you writing every single day for 30 minutes? Are you writing once a week for 2 to 3 hours? Are you writing once a month for a whole day? Like, what does that look like for you? How do we map it out so you can have your first draft done in 90 days? Then we move into the editing process. And while you're editing and your editors are working with your manuscript, we're focused on, what does this launch look like? Are we going for a New York Times bestseller? Are we going for an Amazon bestseller? And we map out the launch experience for the goal that you have. And then we create, you know, a 12-week launch plan, because like anything else in business, it takes that long to get people's attention, get their buy-in, and make sure they're ready to go on launch day. We might do a pre-order campaign or we might not. It just depends on your goals. And then we're going to take a look at, okay, we're working our way towards publishing. We're working through design and formatting. Now onto the leveraging plan. How are we going to leverage this? And leveraging kind of happens in a 3-pronged approach. So we look at, first and foremost, how can you repurpose the content of this book? How can you now hand this treasure trove of content over to your team and have them create your social media day in and day out, so that you no longer have to spend that time, which can save you hours each week? Then we're looking at, how do we leverage this book to get you more visibility opportunities? How are we getting you on podcasts? How are we getting you keynote speeches on stages? How are we getting you featured in the media? And what kind of book launch events are you looking to create? Who can we partner with for those book launch events outside of the idea of bookstores? You know, who aligns with you? Then we're looking at the final prong, which is lead generation. How are we using this book to generate leads for your business? We always embed that lead generation tool into the book. So there might be a workbook, a course, a training, something to guide the reader to the next step, because that way you're capturing the action takers, right? So I always say, give your book away for free. Give it away like candy. Don't ask for an email for your book. I always get so discouraged when I see, you know, a free book and you go and then they want your email. And I'm like, oh, they're getting loads of people on their list who just want to read a free book. They're not really people who are necessarily interested yet in their process or in their service. So when you give your book away for free, and then what you put behind the email wall is the next step action, now you're growing your list with action takers. You're growing your list with people who bought into this idea. And yes, that might mean there are less people on your list overall, but it's better to have a robust list of engaged people who actually want what you have to offer them than just a list full of people who wanted a free book to read. And so those are kind of the 3 prongs to leveraging that we look at. And we map all of that out. We say, what's our 12-week plan that we can kind of rinse and repeat year after year? And how do we walk this forward? And then we look at, what other support do they need? Do they need a PR media person? Do they need someone to kind of handhold them through the book marketing process? Those are services above and beyond my own, but I have a lot of really good connections, people who can serve them in that way.
My friends, I hope you are taking notes just then, because Danielle just shared some real gems with you on where a book belongs in your lead funnel and how to leverage the effort and the return on effort for publishing a book. Wow. One last question, then I'd love for you to share how people can learn more and work with you if they're ready to dive in. When you mention the intention for your book, is it a New York Times bestseller? Is it a Wall Street Journal bestseller? Going back to where we started, what's the difference? Like, how do you think about your book or your book marketing differently depending on what your intention is for that book?
So the two key differences really boil down to, what's your audience size? What's your reach? You need a much larger reach to go to Wall Street Journal or New York Times bestseller. And then also, what is that launch runway going to look like? If you're like, you know, I've got, you know, maybe less than 5,000 people in my network looking to do an Amazon bestseller, really quality, we can lever up from there, right? Because remember, your audience grows through your book. So book two, book three, book four, now you're looking at moving toward that New York Times bestseller position. The launch plan for an Amazon looks different than the launch plan for New York Times or Wall Street Journal. Those typically have more of a pre-order period. But I also don't limit my authors. If you're like, I don't know if I could do Wall Street Journal, but like, let's go for it. Let's see if we can do that. Then we do, because we can do Amazon and Wall Street Journal side by side. It's not exclusive to one or the other. It's just that the approach looks a little bit different and how we plan to move through that launching process and what that actual launch runway looks like will differ.
Amazing. This has been such a rich conversation. I can already hear the wheels turning in our listeners' minds as they're thinking about, wow, maybe I should write a book, or this is super interesting. So I'm sure a bunch of people are going to reach out to you. How do they do that? What is the best way to connect with you? Is there something they should download and get on your list, or reaching out to you directly?
So I am on LinkedIn. It's always a great place to find me. I'm active in the DMs. It's me. It's not my team. And also email. You can email me at hello@confidentconcept.com or visit my website, confidentconcept.com. I talk on there a little bit more about what it looks like to go from idea to published and beyond. And I do offer a quick, you know, action-taking kind of download that is called How to Write a Book That Actually Makes Money. Because often we hear so many sad stories that someone writes a book and they focus on the book sales, they run a ton of ads, and they actually end up losing money. But that doesn't have to be the case. So it's six things you need to know before you start writing if you want to write a book that actually makes money. And you can get that at confidentconcept.com/book guide.
That's incredible. Go grab that, the book guide, confidentconcept.com. And Danielle, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you for having me. I'm a big fan of bringing transparency to the writing and publishing world. I think it's been kind of behind a veil for way too long. And the more people can understand how to actually use this process in their favor, the more they can have a great book writing experience and serve people.
Yeah, well, you certainly bring so much to the table in handholding your authors, making it simple and easy to get a book out and not so complex. So thank you so much for joining us. That's it for today, my friends, for Life After Corporate. We'll see you next week. Take care and have a good one. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.